3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
Exfabula Radio Time on Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Bruce Winter with Exfabula co-founder Leah Delaney, and we have a third person in the house today. I'll let you take it from here.
Mystery guest, indeed. Before I introduce our mystery guest, I just wanted to say that last month was our final Exfabula Story Slam of Season 8, and we ended it with a bang, and we couldn't have done it without all of the help from our fantastic volunteers. Whether you're a board member, you serve on an Exfabula committee, or you volunteer at the Story Slams, we just want to give you a special shout out. And with that, I brought in one of our fantastic volunteers, Carolina. Carolina is a public ally who is placed at Exfabula, and she's become our community connectors. I kind of wanted to ask you, how was your experience with Exfabula this past year helping us out as a community connector?
Well, I started in September, and it's been really wonderful getting to know more of the Milwaukee organizations that I didn't already know, and meeting people on pretty much a daily basis. It's been a really valuable experience for me.
Yeah, you kind of have to like humans to work with Exfabula, right?
No, and I've grown to like humans a lot more in the last year.
That's fantastic. Great. What do you think that's a direct result from?
I don't know. Yeah. Probably hearing people's vulnerability all the time.
Why don't we speak a little bit? Because we do have a volunteer orientation coming up. Do you have anything?
Yes. So as part of my position, I do the volunteer coordination. So I work daily with volunteers, sort of getting them organized, situated. And as part of that, we have volunteer orientations. So we're going to have one on June 27th at the Washington Park Library from 6 to 7 p.m. And you're able to register online at exfabula.org/volunteers and sort of go through the survey. And then I will contact you, and then we can get together and talk about Exfabula volunteering. If you want to be on a board, a committee, or just attend the slams as someone who welcomes everybody.
Yeah, so basically the only prerequisite is that you have to like humans.
You must like humans, otherwise it might be a difficult job for you.
Yeah, very painstaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that. And thank you so much for coming in and joining us today in the studio.
Thank you.
Stick around. We're about to roll into our actual regular scheduled programming with Bruce over here. Hi, Bruce.
Hi there. Hey, let me guess, because it's Father's Day weekend. We have had a lot of stories about dads over the years.
Yes.
I'm guessing we got father's stories today.
We do, actually. We have a little bit of a different spin on this week's stories, though. We're going to be talking about what it is to choose to be a father. So with that, we are going to start out the show with a story from Matthew Conkle, who told a story at one of our spectaculars back in 2013 at Turner Hall Ballroom, where the theme was bad company. So let's listen to Matthew's story.
I've had some bad company in my life, visitors I felt I could do without. But in this particular situation, this bad company was not going to listen to any type of aggressive reasoning or intellectual persuasion to incite it to leave. My bad company was very much a part of me, and it required something a bit more extreme to have it removed from the situation. This bad company I speak of is that carrier of information, that persistent fertilizer, that seed of seeds known as spermatozoa. In 1995, I had a vasectomy. I was 25 years old at the time, without children, and I was not at all interested in cultivating any garden saplings. In my case, I was more than content to leave going forth and multiplying to others because procreating was not for me. At 25 years old, I decided that my seeds of bad company had long overstayed their welcome at the Johnson Gardens, and they needed to be banned from the premises permanently. As far as I was concerned, my swimmers had spent enough time in the pool, and it was time that they got out and hung up their trunks and goggles and were on their merry way. Now, let me make a couple of things clear. One, I have tremendous respect for parents. It's probably the most difficult job in the world. My mother and father, I don't know how they raised four boys. It's for some people, it's a great choice. And two, I love kids. I love working with kids. All of the multiple jobs that I hold to make ends meet have something to do with young people and arts education. I love their raw, creative energy. That's something that I feed off of. And I love how willing they are to just jump right in and try. And I love that when my job of teaching them art skills is over, that they go to someone else's home. At 25 years old, I made a decision not to have children. And I made that decision very early in life because I knew that it was something that I didn't want. In 1995, after 2 years in a relationship, I simply could not handle the stress anymore of my girlfriend being late. And I don't mean late to work. I mean that kind of late, which it seemed like she was a lot, and the subsequent stress of waiting for the results of the pregnancy tests. I needed something that was 100% effective all the time before I went completely out of my not wanting to father a child mind. The stress was having an effect on my health, and I couldn't concentrate, so finally I just decided to get the thing done so I could stop worrying about it. I had to go to three different urologists before I found one who was willing to give me the operation. Me being 25 at the time and childless, most were reluctant to perform the procedure. And I had to explain every time how my decision to not have children was very lucid. It was not something that I'd simply decided upon in the commercial break between Seinfeld and Frasier. It was, I had thought about it for a couple of years and, you know, done some research on the procedure and talked to other people and got other people's opinions. And I knew that it was going to be the best thing for me in my life. On the day of the operation, I had my brother drive me in. On the way there, he asked me, "Are you sure you want to do this?" Now, my brother had gotten a vasectomy about a year earlier, and I was going to the same urologist. He was a new doctor in town and was setting up a new practice, and he had agreed to waive his fee, so I expected to get the procedure done for less than $200. "Are you sure you want to do this?" my brother asked. I turned to him, nodded, and said yes. So I go in for the operation. It's actually really a very simple procedure. You're in and out in less than an hour. Probably the most difficult part about it is that first initial shot of anesthetic that they give you to neutralize the security in the area that they're going to be breaching. After that, you're just on your back, ironically in a birthing pose. Trying not to think that there's anything weird about two men poking around the groceries inside your bag. So, but maybe worse than the anesthetic is later that day when the painkiller wears off. Yeah, 2 days with a bag of ice between your legs might be paradise for some people, but I found it uncomfortable. I don't know. That's just me. After the operation, they tell you that it'll take 10 to 12 rocket launches before you're spaceman free. So my girlfriend at the time agreed to operate the command center to oversee the gathering of the sample for testing. So we got the sample and took it in, and 2 days later they called and said that the bad company had been officially and permanently jettisoned. I never told my parents I was getting the operation, and I only recently officially told them. Not that they were surprised. I pretty much figured that my parents knew by this time, I'm 43, that I was not all too keen on the fathering role. I have three older brothers. They all have children, so my parents were never lacking for grandchildren to spoil. I've told a few select people over the years, but mostly I've kept the information between me, myself, and other women that I've been intimate with. Reactions from the women have varied to blank stares, to "you what?" to "that's great." I've made a fair number of bad decisions in my life, but I never had any regrets about getting this decision, never had any regrets about getting this operation. If I had ever fathered a child, I feel confident that I would have made a good parent, but I also feel that my heart would not have been 100% in it And that's not good, because then there's a chance that I would become the bad company to that child, and that's not something that I was interested in doing. So I made the decision to get it done, and it allowed me to focus my attention on creative pursuits like writing and theater. So I'm really happy I got rid of the bad company, because it was one of the best decisions I ever made. Thank you.
And that was Matthew Conkle's bad company story.
Electing not to be a father at an early age,
yes,
which is somewhat unusual, but, you know, a well-thought-out decision on his part.
Indeed. So we're just going to switch up the gears a little bit. We're going to go into a different story from Sean Mitchell, who told a story at our Fatherhood Story Slam back in February 2016. We had an event, a Story Slam event at 3041 North, which is a fantastic event space that you can contact them for anything. We contacted them to do a Story Slam there. They were very happy about it. We were very happy about it. Let's listen to Sean Mitchell's story about choosing to break the cycle. Here's Sean Mitchell.
I grew up without my father. My father left us when I was 5 years old. Never really got a chance to meet him, never talked to him on the phone, anything of that nature. So growing up, I always had this desire for a father or to be a father. It became a drive for me that I wanted to be somebody's daddy, right? Even to the point where when my girlfriend was pregnant by someone else, I told her I was the father and we were gonna pretend that way. So TMI maybe, but it's okay. We're sharing. Stand by. anyway, I had this longing to become a father. I don't know if it was just to be a father or if it was to take care of someone as my mother and my grandfather had taken care of me. I got that opportunity, and in 1992, I became a father for the first time, right? And I love the boy to this day. I kept him around, you know, I didn't give him away or nothing. And so as life went on, and about, I had two sons, and about 2006, after being a widower and being divorced, I was a single father with two children, and I found a woman who became the love of my life. We met in 2006, and we never separated. She had two sons, I had two sons. So then I was becoming a father of a blended family. I was transitioning once again from just a single father and then a married father and then a widowed father. You know, I was really transitioning in fatherhood. But at the time, I really didn't notice it. To me, it was an everyday kind of struggle. You know, they've got to get to school, they've got to eat, you know, they can't wear the same underwear all the time. You know, we got to do something at night. We can't just watch TV. We got to get up, they got to be educated. Right. So, okay, in 2006, I met my current wife. She had two children, two sons as well. And it just so happened that they were all around the same ages. So as life moved on, we began to have life. We got in, I don't want to say trouble, but we got pregnant. Okay? And don't quote me on the date, but it was probably 2007 or so, and we were pregnant. Unfortunately, I also had to experience the fatherhood. In my fatherhood, I also had experienced losing a child, so we miscarried. And at the time, we didn't want to go through this again. We had you know, four sons. We were fine. Everybody was doing great. Two of our older sons were getting ready to go to college. The other two were in the middle of high school. We were fine. So I made an appointment to go and have a vasectomy. I was going to cut it, and we weren't going to do it again, all right? So, however, I procrastinated. And my procrastination caused us to get pregnant again. And now we have five sons. The youngest is now 4, and the oldest is 25. But through all of these experiences, fatherhood has taught me so much. That longing for someone to express my love to is always being fulfilled. Now I have the pleasure of trying to pay attention to their lives and see where I can fit in. I try to figure out one thing that they like that I can learn more about so I can be a better father for them, so that I can address that one thing for each one of them, the one thing that I did not have. It would have saved me from a lot of trouble, but then again, the experiences that I had brought me to the point I am today.
And that was Sean Mitchell telling us his fatherhood story.
To be a father or not to be a father, that was our theme today. And if you want to hear these stories again or share today's X-Fabula Radio, it is at WUWM.com. And all information regarding X-Fabula is at one place.
XFabula.org.
XFabula.org.
Indeed. Thank you, Carlina, for coming in today. Yeah. And, you know, the role that people like you play in organizations like XFabula is important not only to the organization but the community. And we thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you much.